You're a little older and a lot wiser. The future is yours. Define aging on your own terms. Welcome to AARP Without Limits with your host, Mike Olander.
Hello and welcome. This is AARP Without Limits, WPTF Talk Radio. We are disrupting aging with the power of 50,000 watts. And our podcast, available anytime on demand at WPTF.com or through our Facebook, AARP North Carolina. I'm your host, Mike Olander of AARP North Carolina, and we've got yet another great program for you today, folks. Congresswoman Deborah Ross, who represents the 2nd Congressional District here in North Carolina, is back with us on the program, this time to talk about artificial intelligence and how Congress is addressing it. But before we get to that, as always, ladies and gentlemen, I am joined here in the studio with my partner in crime, esteemed production engineer, Mr. Jason Kong. Jason, how you doing, sir?
Doing great, Mike. Excited to hear the conversation about AI. I think it's just an endlessly fascinating subject.
Isn't it? It's amazing how a year ago, it was really just sort of a concept, right? Like a science fiction.
Like a novelty. Almost.
Exactly. Yeah. And now it is everywhere. And even where people can't see it, it's pretty amazing. I know a lot of our listeners probably haven't had direct experience with AI, say, on their phone, like using ChatGPT or something. I have to admit, I've been slow to it myself. I've just been starting to use it a bit, which I'll talk about in a moment. But it is something, folks, that is very, very real. It is here, and it will change and is changing how we live our lives, for better or for worse. Before we bring on the Congresswoman, Jason, I want to share a couple of things with you. I was on Facebook the other day, and I'm looking and see a post from a friend of mine who I've known for probably 30 years, and he was a musician, is a musician, and he, I don't know exactly what he does, but he works with AI in his field. And he posted a song, and the comment he made on it was, I work with AI every day, and this really frightens me. And he posted this song, and there were some notes on there that he had, and he said he created this song with AI, and he instructed it to, basically said, make me a song that's 3 minutes long, that's influenced by this band, and the lyrics are about blah, blah, blah. And out comes this product, this song, in who knows how many, you know, seconds it took for it to produce. And you're listening to it, and you'd have no idea that it was done artificially. And we're not talking about electronic music here, Jason, which is really easy to get. We're talking about, like, distorted guitars and, like, live drums and real vocals, not, like, automated, you know, Knight Rider kit vocal sound, you know, computer generated, you know, actually sounds like a real vocalist. And listening to that, not only thinking, wow, not only does this sound completely real, but it's actually pretty good. And, you know, that, you know, fast forward, you know, a week or so later, and I've got an administrative task that I've got to do at work. And I know some my colleagues have been using AI, and in particular ChatGPT, for more and more things. You know, little things can kind of make short work out of it, you know, using AI. And I said, you know what, let me start using this a little bit more. And so I said, okay, create me a, you know, X number word statement on blah, blah, blah. And make sure you say blah, 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 and hit the button, and within 2 seconds, not even that, there was this perfect, almost perfect piece. And I read it, and I go, wow, that's good, but it's a little too fancy. Do it again, but make it a little less formal. Okay, but add another paragraph mentioning blah, blah, blah. And I copy and paste it into Word. Jason, do a couple little edits to it to make it sound a little bit you know, personable to my liking, and that was it. And something that probably would have taken me 20, 25 minutes to do or so of my, you know, focus time, I was able to do in literally like 3 minutes, if that, and I was done. And that got me thinking, you know, to another article or an article that I read just yesterday, and it was talking about students using AI, and this is a big problem now in universities. And even I had a conversation with my son not long ago about him using AI to generate an answer to something he was working on for school. And kind of coupled with that, you know, this students using this technology to be able to do reports and things like that normally would take students weeks to do, they're able to do in no time. A report about how employers are placing less value on college degrees now. And we saw this in it with MBAs a while ago. Are MBAs, you know, as useful and valuable as they used to be in terms of securing a job and helpful to employers who hire people who have them? But just in terms of even the undergrad degree, you know, do you even really need it? And kind of roll all these things together. And, you know, you got to wonder, what is the impact of AI going to be on us as a society, right? In terms of not only our creative ability with things like creating music and art, but using our brains to do work. And we're being told by certain employers now that I actually don't even maybe even need that degree. And you think about things that we talk about a lot on this show, Jason, brain health and how you need to be activating your brain more and more, especially as you age, in order to keep sharp and to keep your mental abilities and faculties with you. And so AI is of real concern. Again, a lot of great things it can do and a lot of things that we need to be concerned about. And so we are very lucky to have with us today, representing North Carolina's 2nd Congressional District, Deborah Ross. Congresswoman, welcome back to the show.
Oh, it's so great to be with you.
The first time we had you on the program, which we were very lucky to have you here with us in the studio, it was shortly after your new term started in 2023, which does seem like a lifetime ago. A year later now, how's it been going?
Well, my first term was stellar. It's probably one of the most productive times that Congress has really gotten to work for the American people in more than a generation. Of course, we immediately had to respond to the COVID pandemic, and I believe President Biden did a great job of making sure we got people vaccinated as quickly as possible. We rolled out prevention programs, finally got kids back into school, and you know, stabilized people, made sure that they weren't going to get kicked out of their apartments and that they had what they needed to get through the pandemic. And then, of course, we went on to do historic things like the CHIPS and Science Act, which is the biggest investment in the scientific enterprise we've had since the moonshot. We've also had the American Rescue Plan. We've invested more in healthcare, bringing down the costs of prescription drugs, which I'm sure AARP is excited about, and the cost of insulin. We also created that sweetener so that North Carolina could expand Medicaid, one of the first states to do that in a really long time. And then, of course, we invested in climate and so many other things. And in my first term, I got 11 bills or amendments passed and signed into law. I also got more than $20 million of community projects. But now, this term, we're in divided government, and that means it's so much harder to get things done. I am happy to report that we've been able to provide the votes when it's been necessary to make sure we honor our country's obligations, both in terms of the debt limit and internationally. Most recently, we stayed here on a weekend to make sure we took care of our international obligations, and then also to, albeit late, deliver an appropriations package. And in that appropriations package, I got more than $12 million for the people of Wake County, including two affordable housing projects, one for foster kids. So it's a much more difficult session to get things done, but I'm trying to do everything that I can and work in a bipartisan way to the extent I can to deliver for the people of Wake County, North Carolina, and the country.
Now, for those listening who don't live in the 2nd Congressional District, please tell us a little bit about what are some of the issues that are top of mind for your constituents these days?
So the 2nd Congressional District is really Wake County north of the farmers market. So Wake County all the way up to the Franklin County line. The number one issue in polling and what I hear from people is affordable housing. And affordable housing means different things to different people. Obviously, we have a homelessness issue. That's been in the news a lot. But young couples and young people can't buy homes, first-time home buyers. I've visited with seniors who live in affordable apartments in Zebulon, and we need to have the low-income housing tax credit to create an incentive to build more apartments. So affordable housing, childcare costs are huge. I'm also hearing about fears that Medicare or Social Security could be at risk because of some of the ideas that have come up from our Republican colleagues. But please know I am doing everything that I can to protect Social Security and Medicare, and also to make sure that we have child tax credits and housing tax credits and all the incentives that we need to keep the costs of these essential services in our growing area available to everyone.
Well, I appreciate hearing your perspective on these things, Congresswoman. When we come back after this short break, I'm going to ask you about artificial intelligence, because I know that's been something very important to you and that Congress has been looking at more and more these days. This is AARP Without Limits. We'll be right back. And we are back. This is AARP Without Limits. Just a reminder, folks, we always love to hear from you. If you have a question, a comment, a suggestion for a future topic or guest, please send us an email to aarpwithoutlimits@aarp.org. We've been speaking today with Congresswoman Deborah Ross. She represents the 2nd Congressional District here in North Carolina. We've been talking a bit about her district, issues that are important to her, and things going on in Congress, but we want to shift gears right now. I read an article not too long ago about artificial intelligence and saw the Congresswoman's name popping up in there. I know one thing that has changed a lot in the last year, Congresswoman, is that it's very clear that we're now living in a new era of artificial intelligence, and most people are seeing AI at work already. What's your general take on AI and how it's transforming our world?
Well, AI can be used for so much good, but then it also can have a dark side. Where I'm seeing AI have the most effect, and just to let your listeners know, I serve on 2 committees that have had multiple hearings on AI. One, of course, is the Science, Space, and Technology Committee, because we're the committee that looks at what's going to happen in the future. And some of the hearings that we've had there have been about how to make sure that whatever goes into AI is something that can be used for good, rather than having a situation where only kind of dark things or destructive things or discriminatory things end up in AI. And so we had a really interesting discussion about that. But also, I'm on the Judiciary Committee, Intellectual Property Subcommittee, and we had the most fascinating hearing about AI with copyright and patent. And AI is being used in the healthcare field and in the research and drug development field in incredibly positive ways. So things that might take even a year to do now can be done much more quickly with AI. And that means we can bring more drugs to market. Now, the things that are not done quickly are obviously, you know, safety issues and tests, human tests. But some of the repetitive kinds of things can be done with AI so much more quickly, drawing in data from different places. And so we have this fascinating discussion about how AI will help with new therapies. I'm also in touch with hospitals about how AI can sometimes even be more accurate in reading breast cancer screenings and things like that. So there is a positive side to AI that is wonderful, but the negative side mostly deals with either taking information that is already protected and from creators like a song or a newspaper, and then disseminating that and not compensating people, or creating deep fakes where you think you're seeing something that's true, but it's been generated to manipulate you. And then, of course, like I said at the beginning, we have to worry about who's doing that, who's setting it up, and what data they're using, because we could have bias in that AI that then denies people a loan or does facial recognition in a way that disadvantages certain populations. So we're looking at all of these things. And to me, one of the more interesting things is how we approach ethical issues in AI. And the National Humanities Center is working on that. Congresswoman Fushi and I have convened two AI roundtables, and we're going to do a third this summer, because we want, whatever we do for AI, we want to get it right and understand all the good things that could happen and not prevent those, but all the bad things that might happen and try to put some guardrails up for those.
I'm so glad you are sharing with us. And just so y'all know, you're listening to AARP Without Limits. We're having a conversation with Congresswoman Deborah Ross from the 2nd Congressional District here in North Carolina. As a member of Congress, you've got sometimes exclusive access to experts and types of information. And you shared just now a range of sort of the pluses and minuses to AI's potential. What are the things, if you could look at, I guess, the far ends of that spectrum, is there a one or two things that has you really excited, like of those positives where you are really taking to heart and you want to dig deeper into it? And likewise, is there something on that risky end that has you the most concerned that keeps you up at night?
Yeah. Well, first of all, I just want to let your listeners know that I have not had a confidential briefing on AI. Mm-hmm. So I don't have any more information than anybody else has. However, we've had so many hearings on AI that I've gotten to be in public in the room when we've seen and heard from experts from all different fields and all over the world. And your listeners can do that. They can just go to C-SPAN and watch these things if they're interested. On the positive end, I do wanna highlight even more how AI can be used in drug discovery technology. It is essential that we bring life-saving, biotechnology to the market in a cheaper way, which AI can help with, and in a faster way to help cure diseases, but also just help stabilize people. And this will help our senior population disproportionately. And if we can get the science right using this very powerful technology, imagine some of the breakthroughs we can have. And like I said, we had an amazing witness tell us about that and how they don't want to be slowed down, because if we slow them down, that will slow down bringing cures to people. Then on the dark side, there are really two things that keep me up at night. One is having AI manipulate people in the upcoming election. And we've already seen an AI-generated telephone call from, where they faked somebody's voice, the president's, and put that out there. And there are so many potential threats to election integrity, and we have such a divided nation. We need to make sure we have protections in place for AI. And then I've personally been working on protecting creators from having their licensed work. I met with songwriters yesterday, and I've met with, the news media. They put all this time and effort into something that gets a copyright protection, and AI should not be able to just use something that is protected for free if that AI is going to monetize whatever they're creating. And so, the newspaper industry and the music industry they've been upended in the last 20 years, and it's harder to make money in either of those areas. And we would hate for AI to, you know, be one more thing that keeps people from, you know, reporting on the news and producing amazing music.
As over the course of the last year, we've all been learning more and more about AI, and some folks have been saying, well, this is a development, and it's, you know, it's kind of like, you know, adding a new enhancement to the internet capabilities. And then there are others. I spoke to somebody a while ago who said, no, this is actually akin to, or on the level of, the discovery of electricity and harnessing it. What's your take on it? I know recently you saw the film Oppenheimer, and you saw some similarities between the nuclear revolution and this. Do you see it in those terms as well?
Yes. I mean, this is revolutionary. I would say it is like electricity. I would say it's more like having the internet. I mean, it's going to change how, again, how we process information, how we share information, how we produce things. And it can be used for good in the way that, you know, nuclear energy can, in some good cases, be used for good. But it also, in the wrong hands, without the right regulation, could be used for ill. And we've got to see this as an important moment to have appropriate guardrails, and then also see the potential. And it's an exciting time. That's why I think this whole focus on the ethics of AI, making people think before they do, is very, very important. And I know that SAS in my district is really a leader in this. And then, like I said, the National Humanities Center. And the more intentional we are when something new comes along, the more likely it is that it will help a broader range of people and not be something that we need to fear.
Well, I think our listeners share your view and my view that AI definitely provides some great opportunities for us, but also with some real risks. And we all need to be aware of it. This is something so new, and so many people have not even used things like ChatGPT, which is a really basic type of AI, and the capabilities are so far and beyond that, that it's really going to shape, as you said, you know, the future of our world in ways like the internet did, and perhaps even more so beyond that. Congresswoman Deborah Ross, really appreciate you sharing your perspective and your thoughts with us today. We hope you'll come back to the show again later on in the year, talk about this topic and other things that are going on as well.
It's been a great pleasure. I would love to come back, and thanks so much for inviting me.
Great. Thank you to Congresswoman Deborah Ross for being our guest. Folks, that is a wrap. I want to say thank you to Jason Kong for production, as always. Thank you for listening. This has been AARP Without Limits. I'm Mike Olander with AARP North Carolina. We'll see you next time.